Hi, this is Lexi
and Sid
of Hess Van Schlemmer Metalworks and Art, home of the Schlemmer Metal Wolves. We are a small but furious family-run welding, fabrication, and metalworks shop with CNC capabilities and now full-scale powder coating operation. We bring unique, affordable quality art to life within the realm of practicality. Whether it's signs, sculptures, railings, shelves, furniture, or even just powder coat for your rims or your patio set, give us a look, check us out on Facebook or Instagram, or call 618-670-5724. We are Hess Van Schlemmer Metalworks. That was terrible.
Oh, we tried.
Hey everybody, Shane Presley here with the Rock Paper Podcast. Let me tell you about my friends over at Naked Vine. Located at 1624 Clarkson Road in Chesterfield, Missouri. Say come by and visit them Tuesday through Saturday. I'll have some great live music happening this week. Thursday, August 9th, from Eric Barnes. Friday, August 10th, John Bonham and Friends. And Saturday, August 11th, The Matching Shoe. And this is a do-not-miss show. If you have been following these guys at all, this will be Dominic's last performance with the band. So do not miss The Matching Shoe there on Saturday, August 11th. And then my singer-songwriter storytelling show will be back out at Naked Vine on Tuesday, August 14th with Anna Shanoff, Bobby Stevens, and Matt Wynn. So come on out to that show as well. All these details and more can be found at nakedvine.net. Be sure to follow along with them on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. And come on out for grab a cold drink, some great local craft beers, some whiskey, some wine, all kinds of delicious beverages. So come on out to the Naked Vine. We'll see you there. Thanks, everybody. Enjoy the show.
Podcast is kind of like a, it's like a radio show that's not on the radio. It's on the internet. Does that make sense?
Uh-huh.
Yeah. That's also like my mom. It makes it sound more confusing, doesn't it? It sounds like this.
Hello, everyone. This is Tina Deball, and you are listening to Rock Paper Podcast with Shane Presley.
Hey everybody, Shane Presley here, Rock Paper Podcast, coming to you from St. Louis, Missouri, hanging out at Mocha Bee's on Arsenal and Grand Center with Tina Deball, right?
Deball, yeah, you got it.
There we go.
Everyone always fucks it up.
Well, I'm a professional, so I, I got lucky early, you know, it was a 50-50 shot.
Yeah.
But I got the right one.
Yeah.
I did mess up one guy's name when I did this once, and I felt really bad about it, so I'm glad I got it right that time.
What was his name?
It was,
can you say?
Sure, it was Micah Geary, but I think I said Aguirre or something. And
Aguirre?
Yeah.
How did you get Aguirre?
Well, it's like A-G-G-U-R-I-E.
Okay, that's confusing.
Yeah, but he's like, you're supposed to actually, like, roll the R and all that stuff.
Oh, that's fun. Anyway. A lot of Americans don't know how to roll their R's.
Yeah, I don't know how to do that.
No. It's not in our language. It's not in English.
Yep.
Yeah.
Anyway, he corrected me right away, so I'm glad I didn't go on and continue to keep saying it wrong the whole time. But yeah, I'm excited to be here today. This is our first time, you know, I guess probably really getting to hang out. I mean, we've seen you around a bunch of different shows and different things, and we've been talking about trying to set something up, and I'm glad it all worked out today. We got a lot going on. We got a lot of big things happening, including you were just named Helium's funniest person in St. Louis, which was very exciting to see that. So congratulations on that. That's really cool that they do that. You know, they do this like the comedy competition and give everybody a spotlight and everything. And
oh, for sure. Yeah, it was really exciting. It's funny because this is the third time I've been in the Helium competition, but I haven't gotten out of the preliminaries the last two times. So this was the first one. Took it all the way, baby.
There you go. Yeah.
All the way to the top.
And that, you know, it just feels nice to get some of that, like, you know, recognition along the way. You know, it's like, so when you get those little nods that, hey, you're doing something right. Like,
yeah. So at least one thing.
Right. Yeah. All right.
Yeah.
But so yeah, that and I guess there's like a best of showcase coming up or something too.
Yeah, they do like monthly showcases. Their best of the city showcase. Mm-hmm. So yeah, that's August 19th. I will be there.
Nice.
Yeah, I'm the headliner. Stryker Spurlock and Jake Beckman are also on the show, so that'll be really fun.
Yeah, very
cool. Yeah, it's cool to see, like, Funny Bone people, like, traditionally Funny Bone people doing stuff at different clubs, you know, because it's like, we just want to get better.
Yeah.
That's it. We all just need to work together to get better.
Right. Does that competition include the prize and stuff? Does it include more features or any different stuff like that?
Like winning the helium competition? It's been my home club since kind of it opened, so I kind of already have that like window in.
Right.
It's kind of, you know, bragging rights, and it's just good to win as a comic, like win a comedy competition in the city you come up in, you know, so... Yeah, but the actual like prize or whatever is $10 million.
It was
crazy. So I don't really need to do this, you know.
Right.
I'm doing you a favor today. No, I'm kidding. But yeah, so there was that, and then I get to host the preliminaries. I don't know the specifics, but I get to host a portion of the competition next year.
Nice.
So that'll be fun.
Yeah, very cool.
Yeah.
Well, like I said, this is our first time really getting a hang, and I kind of like to get to know a little more about Tina and some of the backstory stuff. I guess you're not originally from St. Louis, are you?
No, I'm not. I was born in Belarus, and I moved to the United States when I was a baby. I was probably not even 2 years old. Moved here with my parents, and... kind of moved around a little bit, but like lived in Warrensburg, Missouri briefly when I was a kid. You know about Warrensburg?
I had some friends that went to Central Missouri State up there, and I used to go up there on the weekends and hang out with them. And
What did they do there to like party? I bet it's just like they just party because there's nothing to fucking do there.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, there's like one street, I don't forget the name of the street, but
Main Street
probably, yeah, but there's like one street with like a couple bars on it, and like that's where everybody goes because that's the only thing to do
there. Yeah. I had some good times in Warrensburg, man. Yeah. Like these, my dad, Central Missouri State, I guess they changed their name at some point, I'm not sure.
Yeah, well, I think it used to be the University of
Central Missouri,
something like that. Now it's just I don't know, they basically like flipped it the other way. Something weird.
Make
like
it more
that.
Relatable.
Yeah.
It's silly. Yeah. But yeah, my dad got, they were going to pay for like his master's degree, and this family actually took us in like and let us live there. So it was kind of like a foreign exchange thing, except we weren't exchanging anybody. But this family in Warrensburg let us live with them. So that was pretty cool. And they like had this big farm. It was crazy. Like, I'm not a farm person. It's not... in me, but like I remember living there briefly when we were kids, so that was pretty cool.
Yeah.
And then we kind of ended up in Kansas City, so Kansas City is where I really grew up.
Okay.
Metro KC, Kansas City, Kansas side and Missouri side. It's very important to say that because Kansas people hate that, and Missouri people hate that. They're like, you're not from Kansas City.
Yeah, right.
You lived in Kansas.
That's a weird thing to me, like that's like they put the state line right down the middle of this.
It's insane.
Yeah.
It doesn't make any sense. I feel like they like had a fight about like who gets it, and they were like, all right, fine, you get one and we get one, you know?
I do know that also that it part of the time, you're speaking of farming up there, like I do remember.
Oh, you a big farmer?
No. But I do recall being up there in Warrensburg once, and like there's just a lot of countryside, obviously. And so we went I guess a big thing up there is like just to go like to all the like the caves and caverns and stuff like that or whatever. So like we're just like walking through, and there's a lot of like I was dating a girl that was going up there for a while, and then like she was like into this ghost stuff or whatever. So like there was supposed to be like a lot of
ghost hunting,
a lot of haunted stuff up there apparently. So
it's cool. Do you guys have like a setup, like a thing to check?
No, I don't know what, like, I never really got, like, into the, but, like, apparently there's just, like, a ton of haunted stuff. It's, like, it's very old neighborhood, or, you know, town and stuff, so I don't know if, like, details, like, if it was, like, Civil War or any of that, whatever, that kind of stuff. I don't know.
Oh.
I don't know all the history of it, but, like, I do know there was, like, a lot of things that went down in Warrensburg, Missouri. And
wow,
so
we're going to have to check into that, because I didn't really know. I mean, I know it's, like, conservative and, like, very rural.
Right.
They have a Walmart, so things are looking up.
And an Arby's with actually the big hat on it? But it was
everybody hates on Arby's, but they have incredible cherry turnovers. Yeah. So have you had one from there? They're great.
Yeah. I think I'm pretty sure I've had one. I'm a fat guy. I like deep stuff.
I recently got an insider tip about the cherry turnover from a friend who used to work at Arby's. You can ask them when you go through the drive-thru to put the cherry turnover in the deep fryer.
Oh, yeah?
And then it, like, adds a whole nother level of fat, but also, you know, just... I'm pro cherry turnover.
Right. And I'm pro deep frying anything, so...
Yeah. Just put it in there.
Right.
Yep.
That's county fair season going on right now. You can deep fry everything over there.
Wow.
Oreos and Twinkies.
It's county fair season?
Yeah.
Is there like an actual time? What's the timeline of county fair season?
It's always like right around July and August and stuff. Like
okay.
Laval and Wentzville, and right now we have St. Charles County Fair going on this weekend. So.
How about that? Yeah. You going to go out and get on the scrambler?
No. I haven't been in a while. It's weird for me when I go up there. It's like...
So, really traumatic.
Yeah, well, like, I don't know, it's just all these like young girls, like way too young to be dressing the way they are, and like it's very.
Shane, are you trying to censor women's bodies?
No, it's very.
No, I'm with you. It's like I see these girls, I'm like, dude, you're hotter than me, and you're like wearing a crop top. Like, I've, like, gotten jealous of 17-year-old right. girls before, and I'm like, okay, why am I looking at this girl's Facebook? Who is this person?
Right.
Why are they wearing cooler outfits than me?
Yep.
Yeah, no, I hear you.
And then, like, you get, like...
they got their butt cheeks hanging out. It's crazy.
Well, and then all the guys, like, too, like, they're just, like, super bro and stuff, mm-hmm. and, like, I don't know, it's like, for me, it's like a high school reunion sometimes when I get up there, and it's like, I don't know, it's a really weird... dynamic up there, so.
Oh, yeah.
And then everything smells like cow shit, so it's like.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Terrible.
Right? It's just like.
You don't want any of that.
All right.
You're on the scrambler already sick. You don't want to smell cow shit
sure.
while you're doing it.
But I could go for a funnel cake, though. That's what I'm. So
yeah. I haven't had a funnel cake in a while. I did go to Six Flags last week, though, so. Yeah. You know. I didn't get a funnel cake, though.
What about turkey leg?
A turkey? No, I didn't get a turkey leg. Yeah. I feel like you can't get a turkey leg at fucking Six Flags. You got to do it at a Renaissance festival.
Well, that's what I think is funny about Six Flags, though. They have like that Renaissance part of the park. Well, at least they used to. I haven't been in a long time.
I think they just have the food stand now
yeah.
that is like Renaissance themed food. I don't think they have like a, but I might be wrong.
Right.
Maybe it was like a kids section or whatever.
Yeah, I haven't been in a long time because I don't fit in any of the rides anymore. So. Like,
yeah. That's crazy.
Right.
Like, do you think you're too tall?
Well, there's a lot of that, yeah. Like,
because you're, like, what, 6'4"?
Yeah, the shoulder one's, like, the Batman and stuff.
That's what happened to Rafe on the Batman one. He couldn't fit into it.
Right.
Like, literally, it wouldn't go over his shoulders. It wasn't even touching his stomach. It was like, he was literally, like, too...
Yeah.
I was like, okay, I know you, like, feel like shit right now because you're like, I couldn't ride the ride.
Yeah.
But I'm like, it was a shoulder. Like, he's built like a linebacker.
Right.
So I'm like, that's why.
Exactly.
Don't get down on yourself.
And then on the, I actually got stuck in the Screaming Eagle one year when I went, and that's got the lap bar, but like, you know, like I kind of like slid in, and that's fine, but like going back out is the tricky part, and I was like trying to get that bar back over my knees, and like I had to like really twist my knee down to get, you know, just like, it was a mess.
Did everybody like know what was going on? Were they like, we got to help this guy?
Yeah,
or was
like,
it like you were doing it secretly by yourself?
Well, like, yeah, I'm just like holding up the line for a bit, like trying to get out of there. I'm like, sorry, excuse me.
Hold yeah, all these little kids are like, get this fucking dickhead out of
yeah.
here.
I've been waiting for an hour. And
dude, you just want to ride Screaming Eagle. Get him out.
But
you're like, I'll go back to Wentzville.
Yeah, right. I was on and I just quit going. I was like, I don't fit in any of these. It's not fun for me anymore. So I just kind of avoided it.
But. Yeah.
So I relate a lot to that Josh Arnold bit when he talks about like, I'll just go stand next to the girl that got scared and or whatever. And so. But yeah, when he said, you know, he does that about the fat section of the roller coaster, and like that's how I feel. Like, I mean, why don't we have a, you know, not maybe not fat or whatever, but just a bigger section? Like, why?
Well, yeah, you know, and I'm so. Like, it's like we have a lot of overweight people in America. Why would you not try to maximize like your clientele and be like, this is literally for everyone? We have these. I feel like I went to Universal Studios. I used to go to a lot of theme parks when I was younger. It's very weird. But like I went, my dad loves roller coasters. Like he would abandon us when we were younger. My dad's Russian, you know, and he would abandon us when we were like, we can't ride the ride. Like we're not tall enough. He's like, okay, everyone stay here. I'm going. And then he would like make us wait, and he would like hand us his fanny pack, and we're like, okay, like sitting there and waiting for an hour while he goes and like rides these badass rides, you know. But I think like in Universal Studios or like those really those bigger theme parks, I'm almost positive they have sections for people that are like taller and like larger humans.
Yeah.
Cannot confirm, but I will let you know. I'm going to look into it. Because I really do think they do. It's like the whole back line or something. Or they have like a whole row of ones that are like just made bigger.
Yeah.
Which is what, I mean, what, I don't know. Right. I don't understand why they wouldn't.
Yeah. I don't know. I don't feel like I'm like that big, but like when I'm, but yeah, I'm too big for there. So like, I feel like it's like, I don't know, I'm 6'4", but like, compared to,
wow, I guessed your height, yeah, like, pretty yeah, right on.
Yep. Yeah.
You didn't tell me that.
No. But you know, like, you look at all those, like, all these guys in, like, that are 7 foot tall and whatever. It's like, you know, it's like,
they're not riding any roller
coasters.
Yeah,
right, exactly, yeah.
No.
Yeah. But anyway, so you grew up in Kansas City area. How do you get to St. Louis then?
I was kind of a bad kid, and I needed to just get my life together, so I came to St. Louis. Everybody was always, when I tell people that, I'm like, oh, I just needed to like get away or whatever. I was like in a bad environment. They're like, and you came to St. Louis? I'm like, yeah. Like, that's how changing your life works. Like, you switch environments, you know? Yeah. Like, it's... So I just needed like a change of pace, and I moved here in 2009, which sadly is almost 10 years now. I didn't realize that until recently. Right. Somebody asked me, and I was like, holy fuck, like that's almost 10 years. That's upsetting. Because
right.
I feel like I like just came here, you know, because I was really young when I moved here. I was like 17, and because I needed to get out. I was like, just got to get my life together. It worked, you know,
mm-hmm.
but... Yeah, I was, and I didn't plan on staying here, but it just kind of happened. It was like, next thing I knew, like, I had a job, I had an apartment, and a car, I had all this stuff, and I was like, I guess I live here now?
Right.
Okay, I guess this is a thing. So, yeah, I've been here almost 10 years.
Nice.
Holy shit.
Yeah, I've been here all my life, so it's, I like it here. I guess growing up here, I was kind of talking about the other day, like, I didn't really... fully appreciate it, like, you know, any teenager kind of goes to that stuff or whatever, where you're just like, this town sucks, is there nothing to do here, and all this kind of stuff. But then it's like, as I've, you know, gotten older and educated myself more, I'm like, man, there's so much going on here in St. Louis. There's such a, so many, for the arts, you know, there's so much music and comedy and all these,
for sure,
there's so much going on. And
yeah, I feel like it's like when you're a kid, you like, or when I was a kid, I really wanted a perm. And I was like, I want a perm. I want curly hair. I want blonde hair. And then it was like, my mother obviously didn't let me because that's insane. What 7-year-old needs a perm? But like, I want, it was, but now I appreciate my hair. I appreciate that I have brown hair and like slightly wavy hair, you know? Like, I feel like when you get older, you just start to realize like, okay, I can be happy with what I actually have.
So did you ever get the perm?
No, I didn't get the fucking perm. Man, I wanted it. Yeah. I wanted it so bad. I begged my mother. She was like, no. You don't need a fucking perm.
Right. It is funny, too, like, about... I noticed a lot of, like, people with straight hair want curly hair. People with curly hair want straight hair. And it's like, they always want the opposite or whatever, so...
Yeah.
I don't know why that is, but...
Well, I mean... because it's the best.
Yeah.
No, I like my hair now, but when I was younger, that was like my dream. I wanted a perm, which is so nerdy. Like, now if someone gets a perm, it's kind of like, come on, what are you doing?
It would be
you got a fucking perm.
It would be pretty good if you showed up to the next comedy showcase with a perm and
yeah,
you know,
maybe I will. I
finally got that perm.
Finally got it, guys. And I'm blonde.
Right.
Platinum blonde. I think I'd look weird as a blonde.
Yeah.
I don't think it would fit me, but what are you gonna do?
You're right. So what did I'm guessing you started comedy here then in St. Louis.
Mm-hmm.
Where does that idea come from?
I mean, I think like people always like told me, oh, you're funny and blah 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 when I was a kid and when I was growing up, but like I ended up, you know, not taking advantage of any of that. Like, I wish when I was younger I took advantage of, like, drama and plays and shit like that. But I didn't do that. I just, like, did drugs and fucked off instead. Which sucks, because I'm like, I was in a good school district in Kansas City that had, like, drama and all this shit. And, like, I wish I did, like, improv. Because I have, like, friends now that I do improv with in St. Louis that are like, oh, yeah, I was doing improv in middle school. I'm like, what? I wish I took advantage of that, because then I feel like my skills would be way higher now than they are. But, you know, I don't know. I think it was always something that I knew I wanted to do. Like, I always appreciated comedy. Mm-hmm. I remember watching, like, Seinfeld when I was younger, because my parents loved it. Like, it was just relatable humor to them, because they're such, like, dry sense of humor people. And Jay Leno, like, I know everyone shits on Jay Leno, but I fucking love Jay Leno. Oh, yeah. Like, I remember, like, creeping out to, like, watch Jay Leno at, like, late night, you know, and my parents, like, would have no idea I was there, and I would just, like, sit and watch, like, over the couch and then creep back into bed later. But, you know, I think it's always something that I wanted to do. Got voted most likely to be on Saturday Night Live.
Oh, nice.
In eighth grade, so that was a big hit for me. Yeah. But I don't know. I just, like, I remember when I started comedy, like, I think it was, like, it was 2015, beginning of 2015 was when I, like, really started and went after it. But, like, late 2014, I had done some open mics and stuff like that and kind of, like, did the research. But, like, I knew nobody when I started comedy. So it was, like, a very, like, lone road, you know, of, like, making friends. And, sure. Like, you know, it's not like I'd, like, done improv or done anything like that or had any leg into the community. I just kind of showed up to an open mic and did some probably garbage material, you know. But, yeah, it just kind of happened. Like, I, like, had to do all the research for it and Google everything and call up to the Funny Bone because I was the only club then. I did my first open mic at the Westport Funny Bone.
Nice.
And I think it was, like, in late 2014, something like that.
Okay.
Yeah.
Sounds like you probably had a lot of material to pull from, though, too, just, like, from the childhood and stuff, like, a lot of...
Yeah, I don't think I really knew that when I first started. So, because I think it's, like, once you get more into stand-up, like, you're trying to get to, like, your true self on stage, you know, it's like really finding your voice or whatever. So it's like peeling layers back and, like, figuring out, like, okay, how can I really be myself on stage and say the shit that I think.
Yeah.
But I didn't start talking about my parents or my family probably until, like, a year and a half ago was when I really started, like, putting it into my act. So I mean, yeah.
Yeah.
Now it's fun.
You did your dad's voice. You do mom's voice too?
Like the same, but higher pitched.
Right. Do you do other voices? Have you ever get into doing any impressions at all?
No, not really impressions. Like, I mean, I'll do, like, a couple voices, like making fun of, like, drunk Valley girls and shit. But I wouldn't call it impressions. More, I guess, act outs or something.
Sure. I'm just wondering if you're honing those skills for when for SNL and stuff.
Oh yeah, we'll see.
Yeah, you got it. I know. Let's. I guess, like, in SNL, like, there's always, like, there's, like, the stand-up comedian. There's the you know, the impressionist. There's the you know, just everybody's kind of got a role in the cast and stuff. So, like, but it's just funny to watch how they. I don't know. Over the years, like, I've still become, like, I've been a huge fan of all the new seasons of
Absolutely.
New cast and stuff. It's just fun to watch them all, like, kind of become their own and, like, you know. So.
Oh yeah, no, it's super fun to watch them.
I know a lot of people are, like, very, very you know, oh, this was the best years of that, you know. It's like, but I still appreciate all the new stuff and
cool. Things. They're still way more successful than all of us, and have, like, they've honed their skills to be on there, you know. Because, like, from what I hear, the auditions for SNL are fucking brutal.
Yeah,
like, just everybody's straight face. You come in with, like, your characters or whatever you've got going on, kind of see what, like, you know. It's like, that's so hard to do. Like, I just think it's so funny when people, like, shit on stuff like that. Openly, I'm like, just shut the fuck. Do it in the comfort of your own home. Don't go online and start saying stuff about, like, I think this is really stupid. But I'm like, okay, cool. No one gives a fuck what you think.
All right.
Get out of here. Like, unless you review stuff like that, like, stop putting, that's my advice to the world. Stop putting your negative shit online or whatever. It's like, just, that's what I always try to tell myself. I'm like, okay, even if I like this person or not, they're way more successful than I am, and they did way more work than I have to get there. So, like, I can always appreciate someone for that. Even if, like, I don't like their music. Like, I fucking hate Nickelback. They're trash. But, like, they still worked harder at music than I ever have.
And they sell out arenas everywhere they go.
Yeah, I mean, I do think that's fucking bullshit.
Right.
But, like, that's my one. I'll shit on Nickelback. Other than that, nothing else.
Right.
But, like, they're still doing something right. They're still appealing to, like, a mass audience.
Right.
And it's like, you can shit on them all you want, but, like, they got fucking houses with badass pools.
I saw on Cribs.
Yeah. Yeah. They were on Cribs?
Yeah, Chad Kroeger was, yeah.
Who is Chad Kroeger?
Is that the owner
of a grocery store?
Yeah, he owns a line of grocery stores.
Wow.
And sings in Nickelback.
Good for him.
Yeah, he's doing pretty well for
himself.
He's
the lead singer, and he was on Cribs. Was it dope as fuck? Did he have, like, pictures of himself all over his house? I feel like he would.
I don't remember that part, but he did have, I do remember, like, on the front driveway, he had, like, all of his cars and, like, a bunch of four-wheelers and had a bunch of property and...
Dude, he would have four-wheelers.
Yeah, like, it seemed like he had a pretty good setup there, though.
Yeah, for sure. I hate his music, yeah. But whatever.
But the grocery stores, though, that's where he's... That's where he's really
pulling in.
Right.
He's raking it in.
Yeah.
Man, it's crazy. Good for him.
Yep. So I guess, like, what, let's, like, 3 years in, I guess, then you've been doing comedy?
Yeah, three and a half or so. Well, I guess, yeah, something like that.
Yeah. Well, that's pretty crazy, like, to think that you're already doing what you're doing, I guess. I don't know, like, not, you know, it's just, but when you're passionate about it, you put in the work, you know, it's like you're a student of it, and you want to learn, and you want to keep trying and everything, and so yeah, you can definitely tell you've been putting in a lot of hard work to get where you are.
For sure. Yeah, a lot of bad sets, a lot of good sets, a lot of weird sets.
What's the, you have any, like, any particular heckles or crazy things that happen during shows that stand out?
No, I don't have anything, like, crazy that's happened while I was on stage, but, like, recently I did a show in Springfield, Missouri, and I told this story on Jeremy and I's podcast, but I don't give a fuck, I'm telling it again. Hopefully it's another audience to hear this, but this lady came up to me afterwards, and, like, she was, like, clearly three times inbred, like, she was bizarre. She was totally fucking off, and she walks up to me, and starts talking to me. She's like, wow, you're from St. Louis? My husband, my cousin, I don't know what she was talking about. She's like, he's from St. Louis, and he'll never go back after all the Ferguson stuff. And I was like, cool, I know where this is going. You know, like, it's like, this is what you're approaching me with. Not like, hey, good set. Hey, that was a really fun show. It's like immediately, like, I'm, you know, picking apart St. Louis or whatever. And then this lady was like, do you watch this, I follow this page on Facebook. It's like live action news or something. It's amateurs, and they're always there when the shit goes down, you know, and, like, you know, when you see, you know, they're there when the shit goes down with, like, the black people. And I was like, what the fuck did you just say? And she's like, you know, black people talk really funny. And I was like, oh, like, I could not believe what I was hearing. Like, she was just insane, and she was just so fucking crazy. And, like, just jabbering about shit in St. Louis. And I'm like, dude, you live in... Why do you give a fuck what we're doing in St. Louis?
Right.
Why do you care? Mind your own fucking business. Stay in Springfield. Just do your fucking thing. We don't need you. We don't need you here. I don't need you following what's going on there from, like, whatever fake news thing that you're watching. Like, I just... It was so bizarre. And then, like, she wouldn't let up. Like, she kept, like, kind of, like, talking shit on St. Louis without talking shit on St. Louis. And then, like, her boyfriend or cousin, you know, like, came around and was talking about, like, asking me if I knew all these comedians. And I'm like, no, man, there's a lot of us. I don't know. I don't know these comedians. He goes, okay, hold on, let me show you a picture. And I'm like, no, you don't have... no, man. Like, we got another show. Like, don't worry about it. It's great meeting you. But then he just keeps going and going. And then he starts, like, talking about the Bob and Tom show, which obviously is, like, nationally syndicated. It's fantastic. But he's, like, obsessively talking about the Bob and Tom show. Like, I didn't know what the Bob and Tom show was. He's like, this comedian friend I have, you know him, Chet, you know, and he's like name dropping all these guys. I'm like, I don't know who you're talking about, man. And he's like, they were on the Bob and Tom show. You know the Bob and Tom show? You know the Bob and Tom? And I'm like, okay, stop saying that. Like, I heard you the first time. They were just bizarre, very weird, very racist. And I was like, man, this sucks. It's like first night in Springfield, Missouri doing a show for like that weekend, and then this is what I get afterwards. And I was just like, ah, cool, thank you, have a good one, and like through gritted teeth. So that was very, very bizarre.
Right.
I was crazy. I was just so blown away. And I was like, you don't have to say that about people, ma'am.
Yeah.
Yeah, what are you talking about?
Yeah, I don't, getting like you were talking about the being online and everything, though. Like, I don't know why people want to force their opinions on you like that. Like, you know, it's just nothing about this required you to come talk to me. Like, you know, I work down at the bar, and like I stand there in line, you know, working the door, and I get all kinds of people. Like, we only have three bathrooms right there, so it's a men, and they're all single stall, and they're men, unisex, and men, women, and unisex, and of course, like, everybody's always like, what the hell is that? Why, you know, why do we have a unisex? And all, like, all their political stuff, you know, it's like, they're like, be something like, you know, about Obama about it, did it, or whatever. Or someone was like, no, it's like,
oh my God.
I was like, no, it's three stalls. We have, that's all we've ever had. Like, you get one, and you get to share one. Like, I don't know, like, I was like, they're all covered in piss the same way.
That's what I'm saying. Here's my fucking rule. I don't give a fuck what bathroom you use. I literally do not fucking care. Just don't piss on the fucking seat. Right. Clean up the piss, and then we're good.
Yeah.
I don't care.
Right.
Like, I work at a place, too, where, like, people, we have only two bathrooms, and that's it, in one of my jobs. And, like, men will be like, you know, where's the bathroom, whatever. I'm like, it's right over here. They're like, someone's in there. And I'm like, okay, why are you telling me this? Like, I'm your mother, first of all. Like, wait. That's what you do when a fucking bathroom is full. You wait.
Right.
Stand outside of it and wait. But then they'll be like, oh, well, you know, is there another one? I'm like, there's a women's. I'm like, I don't give a shit if you use it. And they're like, no way. I'm like, yeah, you don't want anyone to think you're gay. You know, like, I'm like, just like, what are you talking about? I'm like, just go in the bathroom. Just don't piss on the seat, sir. Yeah. That's all we ask.
Right.
I don't care. But it's like, they're like so scared of like being judged. I go in men's bathrooms all of the time because I don't care. If I have to pee and that's the only one available, I'm going. I just do a squat. I don't put my butt cheeks on the seat and then I pee. That's all you have to do. So just don't pee on the seat.
Yep. I don't know. We had this. All we want to tell you about it, though. And I don't want to get it. Like, I don't really care what you're thinking about it, but I always feel like, since I'm standing there, I better tell this guy what I, you know.
Yeah, it's like, thank you for your really bold statement, right, yeah. Bob Jr.
speaking of turning gay, did you catch that Sacha Baron Cohen show?
Who is America?
Yeah.
It's fucking it's so good, but it's fucking insane.
Yeah, it is definitely, like, scary, funny, sad, all, like, at the same time, like. But that guy, like that,
Jason Spencer,
yeah, ran with his butt at him and said he's gonna turn him gay.
And yeah,
stuff.
And then he dropped the N word.
Yeah.
Like, and that was what was so insane to me, is like, this guy is running around saying the N word. And even, like, I love that, like, Sacha Baron Cohen, that character that he's playing, is insanely conservative. But even he checked him and was like, why would you say this word? This is a gross word.
Right.
This is gross. Don't say this. After he drops the N-bomb six times in a row.
Yeah.
And then I love that guy, like, did you see that guy, Jason Spencer, whatever, he's like, I'm not resigning. And it's like, yeah, you are, man. Like, you're going to resign. He did end up resigning.
Right.
But no, it's crazy.
Yeah.
Libby and I were talking about this yesterday, like, about that show. And, like, Sacha Baron Cohen, he's just so good. It's like, in order to, like, really do these characters, like, that's something that I really admire and that I really look up to, is because it's like, you have to totally know these characters before you play them in a real life situation. You know what I mean? Like, that's the only way that he's able to, like, have conversations with these hardcore conservatives and these, like, you know, really irrational, like, thinking people who, like, I'm sorry, but if you want to put guns in a toddler's hands, like, you're insane. I don't care whether you're a liberal or a conservative. Like, that is insane. That's crazy. You know what I mean? But it's like he has to know the characters that he's playing to know what they would say to these people in these moments. You know what I mean? Like, it's like, okay, what would this character that he's playing actually do in this situation? I just think it's fascinating.
Oh, yeah.
And he's brilliant. Like, he's brilliant.
Yeah, it's incredible. And, the fact that, like, how well he can stay in character, like saying like that, and like he's able to. It's
I just started thinking about the part, the Jason Spencer part where he's like telling him like to act like he's like act like you're Chinese, you know, and then the guy goes Ching Chong, Bing, Red Dragon, chopsticks. I'm like, no way, this is real.
Right.
But it's like that's how fucking stupid that guy is.
Yeah.
If somebody asked me to do that, I would look at them and say, what did you just, like, no, I'm not going to act, like, I just feel like I would know what was going on, that I am being trolled if somebody said that to me. Don't you?
Yeah.
Like, if somebody told you, like, act like a Chinese person, you know how they're always with the selfie stick, like, and, like, no one think I'm a piece of shit, I'm just relaying what Sacha Baron Cohen said on the show. But, you know, like, I feel like I would be like, no.
Yeah.
Like, you're a psycho.
I don't know.
I think I would catch somebody like doing that, sure. But I don't know, man. Maybe people get weird when they like have a camera on them.
Well, that's the thing. Like, I don't know how, like, even that all that, you know, I don't know how they. I would like to see the like behind the scenes, like how they set that up to where like.
I'm sure it was literally just under the guise of like being a conservative, like gun lobbyist or something of that fad. You know, like, hey, we're like pro gun, we're pro. I guarantee it was that simple. Because if it was that simple and that easy to get them to like drop an N-bomb and say a bunch of like racist, homophobic stuff and just insane things about guns. Like, if it was that easy, you saw both episodes?
I've just seen the YouTube clips and stuff. I actually got to see the show.
Yeah, well, the YouTube clips, they've done, like, the best parts of it or whatever. Yeah. But in the first one, you know, like, they got, I don't remember what representative or what senator it was, but they got him to, like, read something off a teleprompter, and he's like, children have a Blink-182 gene and Cardi B. You know, like, if I was reading that, I would be like, holy shit, this is hilarious.
Yeah.
But I'm not going to read this. This is insane. Like, how do you not know? How are you that fucking stupid?
Yeah.
I just think people get blinded by, like, what they have, what their agenda is sometimes, especially when they're, like, because I feel like some of the, like, you know, the pro-gun shit is just, like, so crazy, but people, like, sacrifice, like, their morals just to push the agenda. Because I'm like, you have to be sacrificing some of your morals to say that a toddler should be able to hold a gun and shoot a gun. You just have to be, because it's just not safe. Objectively speaking, whether I like guns or not, it's just not a safe concept. They're children.
Right.
They fucking eat their boogers. They're gross. You think they can hold a fucking gun?
Yeah.
They can't even hold a spoon. That's why they have pussy little spoons. They can't have real silverware because they're going to hurt their fucking mouth.
Right.
And you want to give them a gun? Get the fuck out of here. Fucking crazy. Oh my god. You know, I'm just feel like I would know what's going on, and I would like if so, I can't fucking believe it.
Yeah. It's crazy. That's but yeah, shout out to
Sacha Baron Cohen.
He's the best. I'm just glad to see he's back, cuz like he hasn't really done like that kind of stuff in a while, so like it was kind of fun to see him back in doing that.
Yeah. So. No, it's amazing. Well, and it also, I think what's really cool is in a time like right now where we are like having trouble with news and deciphering what's real and what's not and having to like triple check things that we read and shit like that. Like this is a stark representation of that, of like, these are people who didn't fucking read, you know, the people that are like getting got by him and like saying all this crazy shit. It's like, this is the world we live in. This is the people that like we have that are representing us, the constituents. Like, that's crazy.
Right.
I don't want that person being like a representative for America.
Right.
You know, I don't want anyone like, I don't want that. And I think it kind of highlights that. Like, this is what we can get people to do under, like, weird circumstances. But it's like, it doesn't matter, man. You did it. I don't know. Crazy. Yeah.
You mentioned your podcast with Jeremy. Let's talk about that. Like, I think this is I guess you guys are pretty new.
Yeah.
Just a couple of weeks or months.
We're new to the game, yeah. Baby. We're like, I think, 8 episodes in, something like that. Yeah, it's been fun. It's really cool, and it's something I've always wanted to do. And I mean, I've become a huge fan of podcasts in the last few years. Like, some of my favorite ones are, do you listen to Last Podcast on the Left?
No, I've seen the name. I actually have a, like, I don't know. I listen to a lot of podcasting too, but like mostly just comedy ones.
Sure.
I listen to a lot of like the Crab Feast with Jay Larson and Ryan Sickler.
Yeah.
And About Last Night with Adam Ray and Brad Williams. And
yeah.
I like those two a lot. And I used to listen to a lot of Nerdist.
Mm-hmm.
Now it's the ID10T podcast. So I don't know. I like a lot of those, but there's like that's what I love.
There's so many.
Yeah, there's so much out there, but I don't have enough time in the day to. But
for sure, yeah. No, I've gotten really into podcasts in the last couple of years, like starting to listen to them, and yeah. I mean, I just think it's so fun, and I love talking to people and fucking around, right, and like doing bits and just being stupid. It's one of my favorite things. Yeah. So. I wanted to start a podcast with Jeremy, he was in. Like, I was like, I have this really dumb idea. I love talking to people about like weird stories and like, you know, hence the name Where'd You Fuck Up. So it was fun. It actually started with me like texting him. I was like, hey, do you like podcasts? And he thought I was gonna like recommend him one. I was like, cool, you want to start one? Like, what do you think about that? So then we just kind of started workshopping the idea, kind of like figuring out segments and all that shit, and it's been really fun. Like, it is kind of hard, you know, once you start doing it. It's like figuring out how everything works, but it's, I think once you become comfortable with it and realize like, yeah, I'm doing a podcast, but also you can still be yourself, that's when it really starts to like get cool.
Yeah. I mean, I've been having a ton of fun doing mine, and just like you're saying, getting to meet people and talking about whatever, and like, it's just nice to have a conversation with people, even if it's just Jeremy once a week, or you were talking about potentially starting another podcast too with your other friend
Libby Higgins.
Libby Higgins, yeah.
Yeah.
So that'd be even more tricky trying to juggle two, both of them and stuff.
Oh yeah, it'll suck. Yeah. It'll be fucking crazy, but why not? I mean, sure. What else? What? It's like lose a little bit of sleep. Like, right. I'll be fine.
Who needs sleep?
Yeah, fuck it.
So hopefully we'll have that coming up soon. Keep an eye out. But you can subscribe to Where You Fucked Up on iTunes and stuff. And
it's under Where'd You Bless Up on because we had to take fuck out of it, I guess makes sense. But just go to the Facebook page, Where'd You Fuck Up, and then go from there. And it's ridiculous.
Why bless, though? Why?
Because it's funny.
Yeah.
Right. That's it. It just made me laugh. I was like, okay, we can't have the word fuck in it. Fine, let's do Where'd You Bless Up, because it's just funny to me. I'm an idiot.
Yeah.
Yep.
I've noticed, like, I was having a hard time picking it up on some of the other apps and stuff, so I've been listening a lot through the Libsyn player and stuff where you guys are hosting.
What do you mean you were having trouble?
I give it pride because of the fuck, because like I was trying to find it, search for it on the apps and stuff.
I gotcha. So. Yeah, I think like it's on Spotify too, but you can just type in Tina D-Ball.
Maybe I'll find it out with the blessed.
Yeah, we're idiots. Oh no, on Spotify it's Where'd You Fuck Up.
Oh yeah.
So, suck on that.
There you go.
Suck on that, iTunes.
Yeah. I'll have to click subscribe on Spotify. I got mine on there too, and it's nice because that's where everybody's at. That's everybody's on Spotify.
I like Spotify. Like, sure. I've never had Apple Music. I've heard that Apple Music pays more to their artists, but I think it's like 1 cent, like a couple cents or something.
Yeah.
But I mean, I guess that does matter if you're like small time. But then also, like, if you're like big, you know, have millions of listeners and shit, it's like, probably Apple Music is the way to go.
Yeah. We do have some shows coming up as well. Like I said, we mentioned Helium Best of the City coming up August 19th. And then you'll be with Yale over at Coffee Break at Foam on August 23rd. Yep. And then you're heading out into St. Charles County on September 8th to Rendezvous for O'Fallon Out Loud.
Andy Hamilton's show.
Who's who else is on that bill with you?
James Johan, Will O'Donnell, and Andy Hamilton.
Nice.
Yeah. That'll be fun. I've never done a show out there, so I'm excited.
Yeah, it's a cool little room out there. A little come out for some dinner and a show and have a good time. And Will and Andy are both friends of the show. Those guys are fun. Will, we talked a lot of QT stuff, so it was a good time.
Yeah. He loves Quick Trip.
Yeah.
It's great.
Right, yeah.
It's a great gas station. Oh, yeah. How could you not?
Right. Yep. It's, and they have, you know, everything you need. You got corn dogs and hot dogs and
taquitos. Donuts. They have maple glazed donuts, which is really important. I know people aren't huge fans of maple donuts, but they're fucking good.
Right.
They know what they're doing. They've got the perfect ratio of like maple to donut. It's a nice thick layer. So look into that.
Donut tips from Tina.
Yep.
Yep. I used to like their chocolate ones, and then I think they changed. Like, I don't, they're different now. I don't know what they got.
Chocolate Long Johns?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't know what happened, but they're not the as delicious for me anymore. But
huh.
So that's one thing, but other than that.
I have one grievance with Quick Trip, and so they used to have like a better coffee cream situation, and now they just have like these four fucking jugs of Coffee Mate creamer, and it's like, it's not actual cream, it's like a concentrate, and I don't like that. I'm a huge coffee drinker, and I do not like what they have going on there with that. I was very upset.
Yeah.
Do you know what I'm talking about?
Yeah, I know what you're talking about. I don't
They used to have a better situation. They used to have this. And the thing was, their machine that they had before, I think, was really fucking annoying because it would, like, run out all the time and shit like that. But I'm like, okay, just, like, put the little boxes or the little International Coffee Mate creamers with eight different flavors instead of just these big jugs of piss concentrate. I hate it. I don't like it. It makes me upset. I don't like getting coffee from there anymore.
Yeah.
And that bums me out because I love Quick Trip. I want to give them all my money.
Yep.
So I just get iced tea. Gotten into iced tea lately. So things are looking up.
Yeah. That's I'm doing well. They do have some good tea over there.
They have like 10 different flavors. All the fuck more can you ask for? They have unsweet and sweet of everything. Whew.
Right.
It's good. So thanks, Will O'Donnell, for shining a light on how amazing Quick Trip is.
All right. Yep. Click subscribe for the podcast. Mm-hmm. Can we find you online anywhere else for
dates? On Instagram I am at Tina Dball. My last name is spelled Dybal. And then Twitter at Tina Dball. I kinda lucked out.
Yeah.
I didn't have to add any numbers. Like, it's not like at Tina Dball 69, it's just my name.
All right.
It's pretty tight.
Or comedy or all the
Tina Dball Comedy King.
Yeah, the Tina Dball.
Yeah. So that's exciting. Yeah.
That is one thing. The conversation comes up a lot on about last night, and it makes me always laugh because, like, you know, as a comic, you're using your name a lot, but there's also a lot of, like, they find out that a lot of those Twitters are used by, like, real estate place or whatever different, or somebody even just snags it before you do, like, that, and they're just sitting on it waiting, and they try. You have to, like, try to buy them out of it or whatever and different things, but it's just funny to all the different variations of Twitter handles people have come up with and stuff, but or websites and things like that. So.
Oh yeah, I also have a website, tinadball.com.
There it is.
Got that also.
Yeah, you got it scored.
Yeah.
What's next for Tina in comedy? I mean, like I said, now you're Best of the St. Louis here at Helium, and I mean, do you want to record a record or do any of that kind of stuff? What would you like to do next?
I mean, there's a lot of different things that I'd like to do. Like, I feel like there's so many different layers of success with comedy. Like, I've been lazily working on like a pilot for a show that I want to write. It's like, you know, I have like 6 pages and like a brief outline. Like, I just need to sit down and hammer it out. But like, that's something I really want to do, is like write for a show or work on a show. And obviously no one can really teach you that. Like, right. I feel like people just kind of like learn how to do it themselves by reading a shit ton of scripts and figuring all that out. So that's something I really want to do. And then, I mean, yeah, of course I'd love to record a record, but like for now, I honestly think I should just kind of sit tight in St. Louis and keep grinding it out and like take advantage of the stage time that I get here in front of like awesome fucking crowds. Because the comedy scene here has gotten really cool. I think, you know, eventually it'll be like move to LA or New York. I'm leaning towards LA because I think the weather is much better. I think I would be a happier human in LA.
Yeah.
Because I'm very, like, I'm a very outside person. I love, like, walks, hikes, runs, all that. I love being outside. It, like, makes me a better person.
Winters in New York seem pretty brutal. I've never been it, but just, to, like, seeing the news and stuff. Like,
for sure. And it's just, like, stinky and hot. There's so many fucking people. I know there's a lot of people in LA, but it's, like, a little more spread out. Mm-hmm. So I think that I would do better there overall.
Yeah. It is cool to see, you know, people like Nikki Glaser and Tommy Jonigan and some other friends of ours from St. Louis that have went on to other cities and doing very well for themselves.
Oh, yeah.
So, touring the country and all this stuff. Like,
hell,
it just,
yeah.
It was just kind of crazy to see. Like, I remember seeing them, you know, coming up in the Funny Bone and all that kind of stuff. So it's like, that's just really cool to me that, like, my friends are out there doing it and making it. And yeah, I don't know. It's just exciting that, you know, to think that you can make it from anywhere. I think people think that they have to do that, like have to go to these different cities to make it, but you can make a good start here in St. Louis, and then, you know, if it does come calling, you can go to those other cities. But
yeah, I think that's what's really important, is like you can kind of lay the groundwork here and like get good here and start to learn more, and then it's like you're kind of like ready a little more when you go there. Because I think it's different if like you live near New York or Chicago or LA, you know, if you live a few hours away or something, you can go and travel there and start out there. But it's like at this point now, I'm like, you know, I don't know. You never know. People tell you so many different things of like, this is when you move. This is when to do. I've gotten so many different pieces of advice from so many different headliners and so many different comedians and people. And it's like, I don't know what, it's inconclusive. Sure. I don't know what to do.
No, yeah, nobody knows. I think that's what I figured out. Like, you know, it's just, you have to figure out what works best for you, because just because it worked for somebody else doesn't mean it's going to be the same thing. So,
yeah.
But it is, I think, what the perk is, obviously, being in those cities is like just the opportunities are like, if you're available for so many different mics and different things.
Sure.
And of course, like, if their pilots come up or different, whatever.
Yeah.
If you want to get into the acting part of it, all that kind of, you know.
Well, yeah, it's like, I mean, if you get an agent or something, or manager or whatever, and they're like, hey, a spot opened up on Kimmel tonight or something, it's like, fuck, then you can go run and do that.
Yep, but yeah,
I can do that from here.
Right, exactly. Yeah.
Yeah, so I don't know, man.
Yeah, I think that would be fun. I don't know. I've often, like, just, you know, my life and relationship and stuff, like, I think of, like, it'd be fun to write for, like, a, you know, sitcom or something like that, just because, like, I have a lot of, like, I, you know, things come up through my life and just different things. Like, I think it'd be funny to be a part of that, but I don't know, I've never gotten into that world at all, or even, like, you know, sketch or improv or any of that, but just, like, I do think it would be interesting to be part of that process and...
Oh, yeah.
Being, so hopefully you get there. Hopefully that pilot comes to life and
all
that stuff. So.
Yep.
Well, you can keep up with Tina online. Hopefully we'll do some more touring, too. You said we'll shout out to those folks down in Springfield that were.
Yeah.
All right. So maybe we'll get some more touring dates out there. And,
yeah.
Something where you want to do, too? Get on the road more?
Oh, yeah, sure. I've had a couple headliners take me out with them, which has been cool. Like, Jenny Zagrino took me out with her earlier this year. And I have some other stuff in the works right now. But, you know, it's like you don't want to say anything until it happens, because then you just shit the bed, you know? Then it's just like, oh, yeah, this is happening, and then it doesn't. So, you know, I'm trying to get going on that. I'm starting to do, you know, some smaller clubs and stuff in the Midwest and all that. So yeah, it's very just cool. Keep grinding, yeah. Baby. Yeah. That's the grind. But yeah, yeah, like come out and see a show here.
Like the great Rick Ross once said, every day I'm hustling.
Yep.
I live by that motto.
Thanks, Rick Ross.
Hell.
What a guy.
Oh yeah.
Yep.
But yeah, check out tinadball.com for dates and everything else. And but yeah, come on out to a show. Support local comedy. We've got a lot of great things happening here. So thank you.
Thanks, Shane. Bye, everyone.
Bye, everyone.
Rock Paper Podcast.
Rock Paper Podcast.
Rock Paper Podcast.
Well, yeah, that was it.